You're listening to the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast, where I'll be giving valuable insight and thought-provoking perspectives about the connections between our hair and how we live our daily lives. I know that many of you have heard people talking about Jerry curls, pressing curls, high top fades and sporting waves, the best products for your hair and so much more. But what you haven't heard is how our hair can be a full reflection of what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our minds, what's going on in our bodies, and what's going on in our souls. I'm your host, Darius Peace, and I'm excited to be your weekly guide on the journey to having better hair and a better life. I remember when I was a little boy and one of my favorite shows was The Cosby Show, and I loved all of the characters on The Cosby Show. But in particularly, one of my favorite characters was Cockroach, Theo's best friend. And so I was scrolling on one of my social media pages yesterday, and I saw that Carl Payne, who played the character Cockroach on The Cosby Show, which was Theo's best friend, was being interviewed by Tamron Hall. And I was really excited to see him. I was glad to see him doing well. I've always followed his career. I followed when he... when The Cosby Show closed, and then years later, he became a standing member on Martin what was his name on Martin? God damn it. I remember Tommy.
And Cole.
Cole. So, you know, it was just really good to see him. Good to see him looking good. And I just love learning that, you know, he's a married man, a father, and just hearing more about his life. And so that's what's happening today on this podcast. My man Eric here is about to interview me and ask me some questions. It was interesting, though, because Carl Payne was saying that was his very first TV interview of all the years that he's been on TV, which is well over 30 years. He was being interviewed for the first time on TV with Tamron Hall. So I was like, that's really cool. And he said that it was one of those things that was slightly uncomfortable for him, because being on an interview on TV, you never know what the talk show host is going to ask. So it required some vulnerability. And so he was prepared for that. So I'm prepared for that. That's one of the reasons that, well, I'm not going to talk too much. I'm going to let Eric ask me what he needs to ask, and then I'll answer how I need to answer.
I'm really excited today, Darius. I've actually been excited all week since we decided this is how we wanted to pivot this episode.
Yeah.
It's interesting for me because this is something I used to do every week, sometimes twice a week for about 4 years. So it was like getting back in the saddle, and I was excited but nervous. I was like, why am I nervous? And as I thought about it, I realized I really want people to be able to see you as a person,
mm-hmm.
Not just your natural hair expert, not just the motivational or public speaker or the real estate agent, Darius Peace. Yeah. I want them to see the fruit underneath the peel, right?
Okay.
So as you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever heard any of my podcasts, ladies and gentlemen is something I say all the time. I want you to think about some of the things you would want to know about Darius. Make sure to shout them out on social media. Just hit us up, the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast.
Yes.
Because we very much look forward to what you want to share and the things you also want to hear.
Yes.
That's going to be a bit of a guide for us to know what kind of stories you want to be shared,
yeah.
What kind of things you want to hear, what kind of journey you would like us to take with you, right?
Yeah. That's good.
So with all that being said, I get to hop in the driver's seat now. Now, Darius, like I told you, I'm not going to lob any softball questions at you. That way we can really dig in and find out who is Darius Peace. But I do got a few basic things I think anyone would want to know. Just tell us about your upbringing. And when I say upbringing, I want to hear about, you know, what elementary school did you go to? Were you active in the church? You know, how many siblings? Tell us about early childhood.
That's good. So, the reason I say that's good is because it's so very different from my life now. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday. And I don't really like throwing in-law behind him because he is my brother. But I just say that just to clarify, I'm the oldest of four siblings, and I love them, and they love me. Let me talk about my brother-in-law. We had a conversation yesterday, and I was just talking about my upbringing and my background, and we were talking about how, you know, his parents are getting older and the things that we really should do as responsible adults as our parents are getting older, you know, handling things as far as their estates are concerned and making sure that if anything were to happen, to have all of those affairs in order so that whatever needs to be left to whomever, then it goes where it needs to go and all the paperwork and formalities and legalities are handled. So he was telling me how his children are going to inherit this and inherit that. And I was telling him that one of the reasons that I go so hard, I grind so hard, is because unfortunately, but fortunately, my children don't have that privilege. Like I don't think that my mom, and I know my daddy, don't have anything to leave to my children. Mm. So I have to go hard to make sure that they are provided for and that they have really good lives and that they're able to have stepping stones to make life a whole lot easier than it has been for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you asked me that question, because that was a topic that was of discussion yesterday, just my background. So I'm originally from Mobile, Pritchard,
Mob Town,
Alabama. Yeah. And so I grew up in Mobile, grew up in Pritchard. Pritchard is another city right adjacent to Mobile. And a lot of my childhood was spent in between Pritchard and Plateau and Mobile, Alabama. Plateau, for many of you who do not know, is what is known today as Africa Town. So I have very strong roots to Africa Town. I grew up in Africa Town and Magazine Point, and it's so interesting because when I was growing up, it really wasn't recognized as Africa Town. It was Plateau and Magazine Point, and it was right in the center of a paper company, so there was a lot of pollution there. And of course, years later, a lot of people came down with cancer and other ailments as a result of the pollution and, you know, received little payouts and all that stuff. So, but my childhood was normal. And I say normal because I didn't think that I was poor, even though in hindsight, I recognized that I was poor according to U.S. standards of poverty.
You know, that is such a marker for me when I hear people talk about their background, because I come across people more and more nowadays who say, I grew up poor, but I did not know that we were poor.
Yeah.
And more often than not, I would go as far to say 8-9 times out of 10, it's because they had excellent parents that did not allow the child to realize what it is and what it means to be poor.
Yeah. And because everybody around me had the same things and very similar life experiences, it didn't seem like poverty, especially when you would look at TV and, you know, there were, I think, We Are the World video and a few Michael Jackson videos that would showcase children living in third world countries who experienced a different level of poverty. And so that's why I said, according to U.S. standards of poverty, in hindsight, I do realize and recognize that I would have been categorized as poor. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't get to experience the quote unquote luxuries that I get to experience today as an adult man, I can recognize it as poor. I was driving, I went down to Mobile a few weeks ago, and I rarely go to my home house. Because there's a lot of shame that I carried with that. Mm-hmm. And I do put that in past tense, carried with that. But I went and I rode on the street, and the street seemed so small. Mm. I don't remember the street being small like that. I remember the street seeming somewhat big and wide, growing up. Mm. But when I got to the house and I looked at the house and I think about the house that I live in now, which the house that I live in right now is not my dream house. I don't really have a dream house, but when I was growing up, I did have a dream house. And that dream house was to live in a full brick home, mm-hmm. Just full brick. And that came from the story of the three little pigs. For those of you who may not know the story of the three little pigs, you got a big bad wolf who was always threatening to come and blow their houses down. And so there was one house made of straw and one house made of wood and the third house made of brick. And the big bad wolf couldn't blow the house down that was made of brick. And so that always showcased a symbol of security and stability and strength and protection for me. So in me desiring a brick home, it wasn't just about the aesthetic of the brick, but it was the strength of the brick and the protection of the brick. Mm-hmm. And so now I do live in a full brick home, but my home growing up was a wood home, and it was not as pretty and big as my house is now.
So here's a few things I want to know. I love that you shared with us the differences in your homes, right? Because mm-hmm. people don't realize how much what and where we call home, how much it affects us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I tell people when we're having tougher conversations and they ask me about those from disadvantaged backgrounds and why they seem so angry, that you would be fucking angry too if you woke up in that every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's a few things that I want to know, piggybacking off what we're talking about. So in elementary school, were you shy? Were you popular?
No, I was. It's interesting. I think that the personality that I exude today is the exact same personality that I've exuded my whole life. Yeah. The only difference is I have a beard. And, and you know, of course, life is going to grow you up and mature you. But the essence of me is exactly the same. I've always held a smile in my eyes that was there. It was, I would consider it to be impenetrable. Regardless of what was going on, I was always able to carry a smile, and not a fake smile, but it's kind of like when people ask me how I'm doing and I'll say, well, all is well, mm-hmm. considering everything that's going on, I can say that all is well. And so that's something that my smile has always been an indicator of all is well, considering the circumstances.
What would you say was your archetype? And here's what I mean by that. If you think about movies, American movies that take place around high school, you've got the jock, the nerd, the leader of the pretty girls, the leader of the popular guys. I mean, there's different archetypes that we see throughout American culture that really do kind of exist in IRL, as they like to say, in real life. Mm-hmm. So what did that look like for you? Where do you think you fit?
I think I fell into the category of most likely to succeed and but very popular, but not popular in the sense of, you know, the jock popularity but definitely most likely to succeed in one of high merit.
It was that because of how you excelled academically?
Both. It was me excelling academically. It was me excelling musically.
Musically?
Yeah, okay. I'm a musician. Like, I came to school on a music scholarship.
Okay.
It's interesting. So I always tell people, you know, I tell my children. My children are all musicians too.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they don't want to play, I have to remind them, you don't have to play music for the rest of your life. This is just an opportunity to create doors for yourself to have college paid for.
What instruments do you play?
I can play any wind instrument that you put in my face.
Wow.
My primary instrument is trombone.
Okay.
That's where my scholarship and main expertise is.
Yeah.
But my current instrument that I'm playing is the flute.
Okay.
I really love the sound of the flute, and I always tell myself that once I retire from doing hair that I'm going to start jamming on the flute, you know, create a small band ensemble, and we just going to jam.
Be like Andre 3K, put out an album.
I'm just saying, yes, exactly, yeah.
So tell us about mom, tell us about your siblings.
So my mama was great. I love my mama, and I always have to just start with that, just putting that out there. And I say that not just to y'all, but I have to remind myself that I love my mama. I'm not as close to my mama as I probably should be, and that's not on her. That's on me. And I always accept ownership and responsibility for that. And I say that because my mama is one who does, she lives life to her capacity, as we all do, meaning we can't give no more than we have to give, and we can't do no more than we know to do. Mm. And so I grace all of us with that. And my mama, saying mom is not real, but my mama is a young mama. My mama started having us at 17, still in high school, and she had three boys back to back, and then she had my sister later. She tried, and I think that her effort was good. Mm. I don't recall having events of that showcased my excellence and my mama wasn't there. If I had to say a speech at school or, you know, perform in any way, shape, or form, or be in some type of coronation or something like that, my mama was always there. She never missed it. If there was anything that I ever wanted to participate in, she made sure that I was able to participate in whatever I could. Mm-hmm. And not just my mama, because we grew up with my grandmama after my mama and my daddy split. And she had to get out of that because he was abusive to her in every way, shape, or form. He was abusive to her in every way, shape, or form. And, you know, as an adult, having an understanding of and a little bit of clarity about existing with that type of trauma while still raising children has to be hard. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that. And so in my maturing, I'm able to extend much more grace to my mama and myself for so many different things. And so when I say that we're not as close as we could be, it's because of me, because I'm still growing and I'm still dealing, and I'm giving myself that grace. I don't beat myself up for that. I give myself the time that I need, and I'm not one of those people who would have this deep sense of regret if my time ran out to, you know, do more, because what I'm doing is sufficient right now. Mm-hmm. It's sufficient for where we are and what our capacity is. But I love my mama, and I'm grateful for my mama. And I know that she loves me and she's grateful for me. And where we are right now is what is working right now. There's no enmity or bitterness or anything like that. It's a process. Mm-hmm. And a process of understanding for me on my end. And my mama's there, like her hand is always extended. I can call my mama at any moment. And if I ask her for anything, there's not a mountain that she would not move for me. So that's so funny. I'm always so intense when I talk, like, wow, but that's real for me. There's not a mountain that she would not move for me, and vice versa. So she raised me and my three siblings. I've got two brothers under me and my youngest sister. Oh yeah.
I want to hear about the siblings.
Oh yeah. My siblings are the bomb. Oh my gosh.
For anybody that does not know, in the world of podcasting, we tend to not drop episodes in order. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say, I feel like I've learned so much about you, and I knew you had siblings, but as I was kind of putting together today's show, I was like, okay, but tell me about them, because what I realized over my X number of years of dating leading up to where I am now, getting married this year, is that you can learn a lot about a person when you look at their siblings and how their siblings treat them and view them, right? Yeah. You can learn a lot. So walk me through that. Tell me about your brothers and sisters.
I've got two brothers that are right under me. We're stair steps. I'm 44. My brother under me is 43. And my brother under him will be 42 in a few weeks. Okay. And then my sister is 36.
Okay.
And so we, So we grew up close.
Yeah.
And we really had to grow up close because, again, our house was small. Mm-hmm. So me and my brothers all shared the same room. Mm-hmm. But I did not know how small that room was until I grew up. It didn't seem so small, but I guess we had smaller bodies.
Yeah.
But, you know, even in our teenage years, it didn't seem so small because it was normal. But if I were to go back into that house right now, I know that room would seem as small as probably much smaller than this room right here. But we we were there. But that proximity had, it really required a certain type of closeness. Of course, you know, we bickered, you know what I'm saying? Get out of my way, move, you know. But the love was there. But it was a kind of love that we didn't know how, it was an understood love, but not a verbalized love. I remember when I left to go to college, and it didn't hit me that I was going off to college until the night that I left. And I say night because it was before day. We were getting ready to leave. It was me, my mama, and my stepdaddy. And my brothers and my sister were still asleep. Mm. And I was so overwhelmed with emotion. I should have, because that's the first word that came out. I should have hugged them and said, I'm gone now, because I didn't know that that was going to be the last time that I would see them. So I didn't hug them, but I kissed each one of them on their cheeks while they were sleeping.
Take your time. I understand the emotion that you're feeling right now, because briefly I'll share that going to the University of Alabama, you know, I grew up in Montgomery, so I'm two and a half hours away. It did not hit me until like the day of. I don't even remember packing my shit. Like I literally don't. I don't remember packing my things. I don't remember anything other than after we unpacked my room. I'm almost positive we had to go to Walmart and Target like two or three times, because it was like, no, you forgot this. Up, you're gonna need that, because I left so many things at home. I had never lived away from home. We're out on the front lawn of the dorm, and I remember stepmom, I call her mom. Okay, well, baby, this is it. And in that moment, I wanted to just cry. I wanted to cry because they were about to get in the car and leave, and I literally was like, I didn't have a vehicle. I don't know when I'm going to see them again. What do I do? Like, I'm literally in a city by myself. And just thinking back, I get very emotional about it, because my sister Asia is 8 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. My brother Jordan and I are 12 years apart. But then Cameron was born in October of my senior year of high school. Mm. So when I left for college, Cameron hadn't even turned one yet. He wasn't even walking.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I just remember being flooded with, like, is Cameron going to remember me when I come back? So yeah, I just went on my little long-winded rant to give you a moment there. But I understand that emotion of, oh shit, like this is it.
Yeah, because it didn't hit me until that moment. It was dark. I didn't turn the lights on, but I just leaned over while they were sleeping, and I kissed my brother on the cheek under me, and then I kissed my other brother on the cheek, and then I went to kiss my sister on the cheek, and then I left, and I was so overwhelmed with emotion, and I didn't know how to process that, because we didn't grow up in that household of verbal expression of love and affirming of love, but the love was definitely there and understood. And but now there's not a moment that I don't express that to them, because I know differently now, and I've exercised those muscles to be able, those emotional muscles and stamina, to be able to give that, because I have it to give now. So, but that's, you know, that was very challenging for me. So I got off to college, and I had a really good college experience. I was very popular in college.
Where did you go?
I graduated from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. I always say I graduated from UAB just because it's one thing to say I went to UAB.
No, I graduated.
I graduated from UAB. My degree is in Spanish. I had a really good experience in college. That's where I met so many people. That's where I connected with, that's where I learned hair. I started doing hair while I was in college. I pledged a fraternity while I was in college, Kappa Alpha Psi, spring of 1999. Yo. Yeah, spring of 1999. And so, and I, you know, I have a pretty good relationship with my line brothers. I'm not active with Kappa Alpha Psi right now. I just don't choose to prioritize that at this point in my life because I'm in grind mode. That's something that'll come later if I decide to bring that later. But it was college for me, and I just kind of keep that there. But I enjoyed it. Once I got out of college, I met my wife while I was in college, and so we got married. And it's cool because we were able to graduate college together. So that was really cool. My degree is in Spanish. My wife and I have been able to do a whole lot together. We've been able to study abroad together. We've started businesses together. And it's just interesting. I don't have much of an adult life without my wife, Megan. We've really grown up together as adults. So I don't have a lot of memories as far as an adult life without her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to say. I don't have anything to go back to as far as, oh, I remember when, I remember this, remember that. Like, I didn't miss out on anything. And it's hard for me to go back down memory lane because life has really gotten so much better with Megan. And so it's kind of hard for me. And I'm not saying that as a moment, you know. Typically, when women are listening, it's but it's not about the awe. It's about
no. This is real.
It's like I don't really have much memory of life, before her. As far as you know, my life really began with her as an adult. You know, my life of who many people see and know as Darius Peace, started with Megan Peace.
So I got two questions for you, and then we'll take it to break. I want you to talk to us, because I know you've told me before, and we'll see where it falls in sharing with the listeners how we drop these episodes. But I want you to talk to us about what it was like getting into the world of hairstyling. Mm-hmm. I like to say hairstyling, because one of the things that bothers me, and I'm not even in the industry, I hate when I hear someone say, oh, yeah, that's such and such. They do hair. Like that structure. They do hair, because no, y'all do so much more than that. And I know that's a colloquial way that we position it, but that's just that's never seemed to be enough for the people I have come across. Mm-hmm. So I want you to talk to us about what it was like to get into the world of hairstyling, how that affected you as a black man, and then we'll take it to break.
So when I started doing hair professionally, it was my world because when I started doing hair, I did both relaxed and natural hair. And when I recognized that my clients who were natural were having better experiences with their hair regarding growth, regarding scalp conditions, having, you know, few irritations from chemical processes, I decided to transition everybody away from the relaxer into natural hair. And those who decided that they wanted to keep the relaxer, I ushered them to industry colleagues of mine who were still doing relaxers and, you know, let them go there because I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to keep breathing in those chemicals and working with those chemicals, especially not having an awareness of what the long-term effects would be on my body. Mm. And I'm always surprised that in my 20s, I had that awareness for health and the long-term. So I decided to let that go. And it was definitely a benefit for myself and for all of my clients who chose to stay with me. And so my approach to natural hairstyling has always been one of offering a lot of finesse. Finesse has always been the big deal for me, like finesse. My clients never went to work having issues with their hair or any controversy about their hair. So when people say, you know, I went to work and I was getting a lot of flack about wearing my natural hair at work. Well, the reason my clients didn't experience that was because my approach to styling natural hair offered so much finesse that people couldn't look at it and recognize that it was natural because it was so polished. It was so sophisticated and so elevated.
Dripping with finesse.
I'm just saying. And so nobody had those type of issues or concerns at work because it showcased and represented every brand or position with high posture.
Yeah. I love that. All right, guys and ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take y'all to break. We've got an ad coming up from Honeysuckle Lane Creative Co. So make sure to tune into that. And if you have any needs as far as graphic design, public speaking, or you just need your business remodeled a little bit, you can reach out to Honeysuckle Lane Creative Co. coming at you right now.
Speakers, coaches, experts, and entrepreneurs, whether you're keynoting events, growing your business, or commanding the boardroom, you are highly skilled and accomplished at what you do. But something's missing. You don't have a cohesive brand to match your level of success. But not to worry, that's where we come in. We're Honeysuckle Lane Creative Co., and we create stunning visuals that capture the essence of your business and give you the online presence of your dreams. With a full suite of creative services, including photography, web design, graphic design, and marketing strategy, we make sure you're as extraordinary online as you are in your area of expertise. Ditch the DIY and work with an experienced team that gets results. Find us online at honeysucklelanecreative.com and on Instagram at honeysucklelane_creative. Let's bring your brilliance to life with an unforgettable brand.
Man, I'm so excited for not just what we've learned about you in this episode. And I do want to tell you, I very much thank you for sharing your raw emotion. I know for some people that can be difficult, and I know the listeners are going to appreciate that. But here in this part of the show, there's a couple of things I told you I wanted to accomplish. I want people to understand the why behind this podcast and what you and I were looking to accomplish as co-collaborators, excellent talent and producer. Podcast magician for our listeners. And when we talk about the why, just to give y'all a look behind the curtain, or to see how the beef is made, as they like to say, I always ask that my creatives are able to explain to me not what is going to keep them going every week, because that's easy, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us, we do a podcast because it's cool, it's fun. But I ask my creatives to tell me, what is it that is going to bring listeners back every week? And I position it to them in three ways. What are you helping your listeners to achieve? What are you helping them to do or helping them to solve? Mm-hmm. And I felt like there was so much depth and life that we had in this podcast. Because like you and I have said, and I can speak from personal experience, a lot of what I do and go through on a daily basis is connected to my hair. And that's such a thing in the Black community. It always will be. I got my haircut Friday. And from the rest of the day forward and since then, my personality has been different, you know. So having said all that, that's what we're looking to do, is to really have y'all understand in this part of the podcast what we hope to achieve and what we hope to give you as a reason to come back every week. But first, we're going to have a little bit of fun. So, we are in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes.
Bombingham, if you want to take it back to the 60s. So much life for the city of Birmingham. The studio where we record is located in the historic Civil Rights District.
Yeah.
Right close to two major things. Three. I'm going to say, actually, it's more than three, but I'm going to keep it at three. The Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. Mm-hmm. So for any of you listening around the world, when you visit Birmingham, please go. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it at that, because if I get into the depths, I don't like to spoil it for people, but please go. Right down the street from this building and kind of next to the BCRI is 16th Street Baptist Church, mm-hmm. where in October of 1963, four little girls were killed from a bombing. And then there's Kelly Ingram Park. If you look at archival footage, and I can specifically speak to something recent, the film Rustin that's available on Netflix, that kind of gave us an explication of the life of Bayard Rustin, the civil rights activist leading up to the March on Washington. You see a lot of footage in Kelly Ingram Park of children, because it was mainly children, protesting for equal rights. And then, of course, in the background, you can see this building where we are recording.
Yeah.
I share all that because what we're going to do right now is just a little bit of fun piece for me. It was fun for me to put this together. And a few questions that I'm going to ask Darius, I like to call it, because we do this in another show that I produce, the this or that. This is the this or that section.
Yeah.
The benefit to you as a listener is that you may have never heard of some of these places. It can give you a few cool places to go and check out. I got a few curveballs to throw to Darius, so we'll see how he answers these. So first and foremost, Alabama or Auburn?
I don't have a dog in the fight. Neither Alabama A&M or Alabama State.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Botanical Gardens or Railroad Park?
Railroad Park. More people. I see more people, and I see a more diverse showcase of people in Railroad than I do Botanical.
Legacy Arena or Protective Stadium?
Protective Stadium, because that's the one I have easiest access to from home.
Sloss Furnace or Vulcan Park?
Vulcan Park, because you can see the whole city from Vulcan.
Yeah, I've always loved Vulcan myself. Birmingham Zoo or the McQueen Science Center?
Birmingham Zoo. I love the animals.
Alabama Theater or the Lyric Theater?
All day, every day, Alabama Theater.
Civil Rights Institute or the Negro League Museum?
Civil Rights Institute, all day, every day.
What's your favorite holiday?
Birthdays.
Birthdays?
Yeah, every birthday in my house.
Is a holiday.
Those are my favorite holidays because it makes it all about that person. You don't have to share it with anybody. It's your day.
Favorite movie?
My all-time favorite movie has been You've Got Mail with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
I love that. That's a good movie.
But another one of my favorite movies is Cloud Atlas.
I've never seen that one.
It's also a Tom Hanks film, and it's got Halle Berry and Susan Sarandon and Nicolas Cage and other. It came out on my birthday a few years ago, and it didn't really hit hard at the box office, but it was a dynamic movie. The book was fantastic. I love reading, and the movie was just as dynamic as the book.
Okay. All right. So I got a few more for you. Do you cook?
Yes, I love to cook. I always tell people I cook just as good as I do hair.
So if you had to go in the kitchen, what is your throwdown meal? What's your go-to meal?
So my go-to is always salmon, but there are so many different ways that I can prepare salmon. Lately, I've been preparing my salmon with celery salt and nutmeg.
Okay.
And I know the nutmeg sounds like a throw-off, but I was speaking at an event in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the food providers at the event were from Grenada.
Okay.
And the name of the company was Nutmeg. And I was like, well, why is the name of your company Nutmeg? And they said, because that's one of the premier and most common spices that we use in Grenada. And I was like, well, let me start rocking with nutmeg. And y'all, I've been putting nutmeg on so many things. And it's just really added a much more robust flavor to a lot of my dishes. So
okay. I love it. Biggie or Tupac?
Tupac.
Why?
Because California knows how to party. Yes.
Michael Jackson or Prince?
Michael Jackson.
What is your sign, your astrological sign?
It's Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not into all of that. So what does that mean? Like, are you a typical Scorpio? Break it down for me.
From what it says, I think that my personality can showcase a lot of traits of the Scorpion.
Okay.
But when I think about it, you know, I think that I can listen to the traits of all the signs and be like, oh yeah, that's me too. Oh yeah, that's me too. So
for listeners out there who are not Birmingham local or maybe visiting Birmingham, even if they are local, give us a restaurant recommendation. Curveball.
Yeah, that's the reason that that's hard for me. So I love Michael's Restaurant. Michael's Restaurant is in Railroad Park. And Yo Mama's. And
I love me some Yo Mama's.
El Barrio. And Trattoria Zaza. And I love all of these for so many different reasons. The Essential. Helen, and these are all downtown restaurants, but I'm a downtowner, so.
I saw a pattern. Okay. All right, so we got a few. All right, so that's a little bit this or that as far as Birmingham. Now, let's dig back into the podcast itself.
Yeah.
What is it that I'm having to not laugh because I feel like I know how you're going to answer this one. What is it that made you want to do a podcast?
So I've wanted to do a podcast for a long time because I have a lot of content surrounding my expertise with hair and beauty and entrepreneurship, just my experiences with business and just living life as a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, every day gives us expertise that we can share with somebody else. I think about the Bible, and I don't affiliate myself with any formal religion. I don't, I'm not a Christian. I don't identify as Christian or Muslim or anything like that. I don't exercise any formal religion. I do live and operate a life of love and harmony and peace, but that's not affiliated with any religion. Now, I grew up identifying as Christian, and so, you know, I'll always make a lot of context to the Christian Bible. And so the Bible to me is a living word, and I understand it as a living word because there's so many different books, and these books are different perspective accounts of different people's experiences and stories. And so I think that we're all books and we're all living word and living words and living experiences. So when I say that, you know, my human expertise, it's referencing that I'm a living word. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to do this podcast is because I'm a living word. And so there are things that I can share. Yeah, I'm a living word. And that's why I always tell people I don't run out of content. My content is evergreen because I'm a living word. And as long as I have breath in my body and blood flowing and brain functionality and activity, my word is living. It's alive. And we all have that. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to do the podcast. And then, you know, I allow myself to be free. One of my struggles that I've carried for a long time is not wanting people to see my journey. I've only been comfortable with people seeing me once I've arrived at good at something. Like, I don't want you to see me learning how to skate. I want you to see me when I'm good. I don't want you to see me learning how to do hair. I want you to get me when I'm good. I've been ashamed of people seeing me fail. And so doing this podcast is not about people seeing me fail, but it's allowing myself to be vulnerable with myself, giving everyone else exposure to that, and me talking about that, it just gives me an opportunity to heal and get free in a lot of ways. I was talking on one of our recordings about how I was hired to do a speaking presentation in Trinidad and Tobago years ago, and I was out with the people who hired me to come and speak and teach. And so we went swimming, and while I was swimming, they were floating on their backs, and I had a really hard time floating on my back because I would not let go. And they just kept saying, "Darius, you have to let go. You have to let go." And I just didn't, it didn't make sense. Like, what do you mean let go? And so it was me allowing my body to really lose all of the control and allow the water, trust in the water and trust in my body to just carry me. And this podcast is helping me to allow myself to float. So to this day, I still am not able to really float on my back because whatever it is that I need to let go of, I haven't let go. But I believe that allowing my evergreen content and experience and words being shared with everyone listening will allow me to float.
The listeners. Because I understand what it brings for you. What are you looking for your listeners each week? You know, and in the mechanics of putting this together, we talked about what are we trying to do, solve, or achieve. But let's talk about your listeners. What is it you want for them every week?
So I want them to experience some enlightenment from the different content that I'll be sharing, to really think a little differently than what they may have thought about hair or life, to experience some resolve in a lot of areas where they may not experience solutions, to become more solution-oriented and more solution-focused and less problem-focused and problem-oriented. And that can showcase itself in the form of getting help where help is necessary, from licensed, certified experts. That's important. So that's what I want for that. I just want people to be able to float like I want to float.
So if I were listening and I had to put it into a sentence, tell me if I'm right or wrong. For you, this journey that you're taking with your listeners, it's about lightening what you carry for you personally.
Yeah.
But also to help shine a light on some of the things that your listeners will carry.
Yeah.
I get that right?
Yeah, you did. Can I add something?
Of course.
We talked about all these different people, but some of the most important, the most, besides my wife, are my children. We talked about my siblings. We talked about my mama. But my babies, my children trump everybody except my wife. She was there first. But my children trump everybody. They come first. And so I have five children, and they are the most amazing children in my world. Haya is my oldest. Kaya is my youngest girl. She's the second oldest, but she's my youngest baby. She's my baby girl. Zion is my oldest son. Niall is my middle son. And Maya is my youngest son. And my kids are so dynamic. I love everything about them. They bring all of the life and light to life as I know it alongside my wife. They give me a chance of redemption every single day of my life. And my whole family, they show us what recovery really looks like and what compassion and empathy and sympathy and jubilance and joy and peace look like every single day. They're extraordinary to me. They really show me because I'm able to see the parts that I love the most about myself in them. And even the parts that I don't love the most about myself, the parts that are uncomfortable. So I'm able to experience that with them. But I wanted to mention them, too, because talking about, you know, my background is one thing, but my current, my present, and my forever is them. So I didn't want to not mention the Peace Kids, because they keep our family name going and growing. I wasn't born with the last name Peace. I added Peace to my name in 2002 legally. And the reason I did that was because I kept having these recurring dreams that God was calling me Peace. It's like, and it was just such a weird thing. I had it one time, just kind of ignored it. And then I had it again and I still ignored it. It was like, okay. But then, you know, after a few more times, I just started to realize, wait a minute, like this is recurring. And I just don't have these recurring dreams like that. But one of the things that I always wanted in my entire life, but did not know how to articulate, I didn't have the words to say as a little boy, I always wanted peace because I always felt, or I always thought that I was in the center of such chaos. And so I always wanted peace. But as a little boy, I didn't know how to say, I want peace. God, can you give me some peace? Well, I didn't know how to say that. I didn't know that it didn't make sense to me. But as I grew up and became a man and recognized that what I had been, well, that's when God told me in my dreams that what I've been asking for my whole life was peace. And what God told me in those dreams was that I call you peace. I call you peace and I call you into peace. And you can have everyone from this point call you peace. And what that's going to do for you is it's going to give everybody an opportunity to speak something good into your life to you. When you get married, your wife will inherit that name, and some and everybody that speaks to her will speak something good into her and to her. And when you have children, they'll be born into that name. And so they'll be called into peace before they get here. And once they get here, everybody that wants their attention will have to speak peace in their classrooms. When the roll is called, there will be peace spoken into those classrooms. Everywhere they go, there will be peace. Everywhere y'all go, there will be peace. And so that that's a fun fact about Darius Peace. I grew up Darius Green. And I added peace to my name. So I'm Darius Green Peace. So when I talk about me having an evergreen showcase of content, I was always called into that because green was always there. But when I added peace,
you had to find your peace.
And I still have to find and create the peace. Like, that's why a lot of times when I understand let there be means to create. Mm-hmm. I don't have to really go and find or seek anything because I have the power to create whatever it is that I want in this life. So that's why I say creating peace, creating opportunities, creating what it is that I want. And my capacity increases to be able to do that every single day by allowing myself the opportunity to learn and be focused on the solution so that I can keep moving forward. Because the world don't stop turning. It's always moving forward. It's always expanding. So
what you got for closing shout outs?
Thank you for everybody who is listening to this podcast. One thing that I do not do is take that for granted, because there are so many podcasts out there. There are so many other places that you could have committed your time and committed your focus and committed your attention, and you chose to listen to what it is that we have to say today. So thank you so much for sharing your time and your moment with me in the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast. And I'm inviting you to always join us every week. Follow us on our social media platforms at the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast. We're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. And thank you to my wife, and thank you to my children, and thank you to my parents, and thank you to my siblings, and thank you to everybody in my life. I had to call the most important people first. And then, and thank you, Eric, for interviewing me and allowing me to be on the journey to float.
As always, we hope that you enjoyed listening. And we just want to remind you, my hair ain't nappy.
And your hair ain't nappy either.
Hi, I'm Danielle Hines, the owner and founder of Creed 63. Creed 63 is located in the Arthur Shores Law Center in the Birmingham Civil Rights District. Creed 63 does four things for small businesses and entrepreneurs. We have a podcast studio, co-working space, virtual offices, and private offices. Stop by anytime you are in the Civil Rights District to see how Creed 63 can help you grow and expand your small business. You can find us at creed63.com.
Thank you for listening to the My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast. Reach out to us on social media. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, and we're on Facebook. All the platforms at The My Hair Ain't Nappy podcast. We want to hear your own stories. Until next time, love you and love your hair.